Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I like sucking.
Put that dick in my ass.
Legit bad podcast.
I like China.
I am.
Working with retards.
Welcome to Costco. I love you.
You are.
Welcome to Legit Bat, and now your hosts, Joe, Jen, and Ben.
Welcome back to Legit Bat, everybody. I'm Joe, Jen is with me, and we have returning guests. It's been like 2 years. I was telling him before the show that I was looking it up, and yeah, it's been at least 2 years since we got him on, and since then, they have made this their job. If that tells you anything, they're fucking killing the game in the podcast world. And so we're going to take some notes from them and maybe change some shit up so that you guys start paying for our shit so I can quit my job. Yeah, but if not, that's fine. You can just send us sweet nothings in an email. That works too. We love that. But yeah, tonight's free-for-all Thursday night live show on YouTube for all you audio plebs. If you want to come watch the show live, we usually post it on Instagram so you can be up to date on what we're doing. Like one-off show last Sunday, we just did a random Sunday night show with Mark Gober. It was fucking awesome. I loved it. But for anybody who isn't familiar with Jonathan and Jacob from Cult of Conspiracy, why don't you guys just tell the folks what you do in 30 seconds or less? Thank you. Go.
Well, we've been doing our show here for, I don't know, like 4.5 years or something like that. We do put out a lot of episodes. We have literally an episode coming out every day. And then on Wednesdays, we have two shows coming out. So for anybody that just has nothing to do while they're working or while they're at home or whatever you need to do, you just need some kind of company. We got you literally every day. And we love looking into every single conspiracy, both old and especially the new ones with all the crazy political shit going on. We've been covering the hell out of that lately. And we do this now, you know, that's just what we do. And so anybody that wants to come check us out, we're over on Instagram, Patreon, I think Twitter, that Jacob does, I think, a phenomenal job at keeping up with on Twitter.
You're being a dick. You're being a dick. I am horrible at social media. Gonna be honest. And seeing as how this is my career, you would think I would be better at it. And I am atrocious, and my apologies. But with that being said, as far as the Cult of Conspiracy is concerned, Jonathan and I offer very different perspectives as far as conspiracy and truth-seeking is concerned. I am a Christian Marine Corps veteran who has my feet firmly planted on the ground, however, very conspiratorial-minded about looking for government corruption and that type of thing. Jonathan is what some might call a hippie spiritualist type who doesn't believe in anything, and every day is a new challenge and new opportunity. So he's always diving into new knowledge and new information of things that most people have never heard of or ever delved into. Meanwhile, I'm looking more at things from the historical aspects of things. So we fight sometimes, we come together in agreement sometimes, but the back and forth is kind of what makes the show what it is. And we talk about everything from ancient Sumerian tablets to Desert Storm Syndrome, which is something that we just dropped an episode on this week. And honestly, everything in between. There's nothing really off limits to us. Everything is fair game to talk about, and we kind of call the bullshit where we see it on all sides.
Actually, I do believe in something, sir. You can't just say I believe in nothing. What am I?
I didn't mean that to be like demeaning. I mean, you don't have a solid basis in much. You're very open to new ideas and to new information, and you don't have anything that you sift through a filter of like, well, I only know this to be true. You're somebody that's like, well, let's look at what this truth might be. You and I have very different perspectives. And that's what I love it,
because that's exactly how we are, actually. And I appreciate that dynamic on your show. I've been diving into your show a little bit more lately, and it's so funny to see your dynamic between the Christian guy and the new age hippy-dippy mushroom consuming. I love it because I'm kind of a mix of both of those. So I think that's why we're going to get along. But you also have another show called Meta Mysteries that you just launched not that long ago. And Jonathan, that's your deal, right? Isn't it?
Oh yeah. That's my, my metaphysical, magical, witchcraftian podcast over there, where we literally cover everything that, you know, that you would find that would be labeled as, some other people might call it woo woo. I don't like to call it woo-woo. I think woo woo is kind of a gay term personally. I just like the spiritual term, or just the very open-minded spiritually kind of term. And we literally dive into, like I said, we've gone into like witch spells, meditation. I'm a past life regressionist. So I hypnotize people, and I put those shows up on there for people to, you know, be able to listen to past life regressions and questions from your higher self. Maybe you were a fucking alien in a past life or something like that. It's just very open-ended. And I feel like, you know, really the reason why I did it was because I always wanted to bring those kind of topics over to the Cult of Conspiracy. And Jacob couldn't be more closed-minded on that kind of stuff. Rightfully so, not judging. But I brought it over there because the name, you know, our tagline at the end of every show is to open up your third eye. And I always say, anybody with your third eye already open, come check out Meta Mysteries.
No, I love it. It is fun. Like I said, we're kind of a mix between both of those. So you got the super closed-minded Christian guy that just knows what he knows, and that's it. I'm just kidding, dude. And then you got the other guy who's like, I don't know shit about fuck, and it could be any of these things. I want to stay open to it. That's where I am. But I also, as our listeners know, grew up very similar, I'm assuming, to Jacob, where everything was pretty much just Christian. That is it. The Bible is the be-all end-all, and that is it. So after, you know, not being a child anymore, I looked into other stuff, and I don't know anymore. And so that would make me more of an agnostic, which there's a lot of people that have a problem with that too in itself. Jonathan, I'm sure you've heard plenty of, you know, trolls talking about that. Oh, you can't plant yourself in one thing. What are you? You know, who cares? We're just here to look at
for a third party, bro. I get
it. We're going to yell at us for being fence sitters for not picking us.
Yeah, you're fence sitter. Okay. Yeah. Well, you can call me whatever. I'm a racist and a homophobic, too. So, whatever.
But sometimes sitting on the fence is a really good idea. When both sides are burning down, I don't know. The fence might be a kind of a cool place to sit.
Hey, maybe I like
walk
the fence.
Along it for a little bit. Find a place that's not so much on fire and jump over.
Well, I can see whatever lawn looks better. And at the moment, they all look like shit, and I like my fence.
As the band Rush famously said, if you choose not to decide, you have still made a choice.
I do. I'm getting splinters in my ass from this fence. Yeah. It's tiresome. So what's some of your favorite things in the last couple months, years? What's been one of your favorite things you've talked about or guests or, you know, anything you guys have really like, you know, you get in that flow state when you're really in the mix of a show and you're like, this is gold. I love this. I've had that about twice in the last 4 years, but I know what I'm talking about. So,
yeah.
Well, as a matter of fact, the show that we most recently did, as far as the, what was it? Is it the Gulf War Syndrome or the,
yeah.
Okay. The Gulf War Syndrome, like that was going on. What was that back in the 80s, 90s, somewhere in there?
91 to 92 is when that took, like the operation took place, but the health effects weren't really seen and known about until, I want to say 96 when the government finally like acknowledged it, but then said it was bullshit only till, you know, 2 decades later, them recant it and be like, okay, sorry. We kind of gave you all cancer. My bad. Like it was, yeah. They're still fighting that fight.
And they still haven't really made up for it kind of deal. And they've tried to sweep a lot of it under the rug. And so basically our favorite thing to do is just call out the government. Like every single time we got all these billions of dollars going to all these other countries, but you can't fucking, you know, like treat the people that keep your country free and safe. Like, you know, with a little bit more respect.
They don't give a fuck about them. You know why? Is because they look down on them. And I know you're a Marine, but looking down on them as like, you are the lowest of the low because we literally paid you to do whatever the fuck you were told to do and you did it. So fuck you.
Like a social and physical experiment.
Yeah. So once you get out, they're like, who gives a shit? If I tell you to fuck off, you'll go fuck off under a bridge.
We'll recruit more.
Well, that's the thing. They kind of train us to be really good homeless people. I'm going to be honest. I was a grunt. So like, I could live under a bridge happily, indefinitely. Like, I'm just being real. But aside from just the people like me who love being dirty and nasty and shit, I get it, right?
I thought Jonathan was a hippie.
Yeah, you would think so. I am what you might call a war-loving hippie.
Yeah. I like soap. Shampoo's pretty fucking cool. I enjoy that. I'm not one of those traditional hippies that likes to just grow out dirty old mangy fucking dreadlocks Yeah, I'm good with all that from under cheese, dude. Let me wash that shit off, bro.
I mean, I like showering, but I'm also super comfortable if I ain't gotta. Like, I'm cool with that. But that's whatever.
Here, brother.
But that being said, the veteran community, they got shit on, of course, when they sign up. Okay, because everybody thinks that when they sign up, the government has to treat you well, .. They don't. You just signed away your soul for the next 4 to 8 years, and that's
you're a fucking ball bearing in the machine now, dude. They don't give a fuck. 100%. They'll squirt you some grease every once in a while if you're loud, but that's about it.
Maybe, if you're lucky. Or they'll just run you to failure and then give you a little stipend every month. And that's the case, and I get that. But to say that these people were inhumanely experimented on with medications and drugs that they didn't know what they were taking, and the government actually didn't know what they were giving them because they only had maybe 6 weeks of a trial run done on this thing, and it's like, yeah, it might help this toxin against sarin gas, and the government's like, yep, send it everywhere. It was a mess. But it's like, that's not the first time, that's certainly not the last time. And I gotta tell you, man, as far as a favorite topic that we've delved into lately, I can't say one in particular, because as much as we'll dive into the Watergate scandal, for instance, right? The same way we dive into that, I give the same amount of energy that I give the pagers, Hezbollah pagers that were blowing up, which I think is arguably the most successful clandestine counter op operation ever considered or done. That
was
incredible.
Pretty ingenious considering nobody has fucking pagers anymore and they thought to do that.
Bro, they've been using them for 2 years. These pagers have been functioning for 2 years with explosives planted in them and nobody knew about it, including the Iranian president. That guy had one of these pagers, and it's like, y'all understand, for them to pull this off, for Mossad to pull this off, the level of balls and sheer luck that it took. But then those guys are the same guys that allowed the insurgency to take place, because there's no way that that intelligence group didn't see troops and weapons and gear amassing for weeks before the invasion happened, kickstarting this whole Gaza situation. But it's like, you can't have one without the other. They are the best intel group on earth. And they also allowed their people to get slaughtered. And it's like, yeah, there's a messy world we live in. But it's like the same way we look at the old shit from the 60s, the same shit we look at this stuff going on now. Then we look at the political spectrum in America. Everything's going on all the time. So, I mean, it's honestly just a blast to be a part of it.
There's never any shortage of things to talk about, but I have seen a lot in our particular community, which I very unintentionally inserted ourselves into. It was not supposed to be like a conspiracy or a truth or whatever the fuck they call it show. We just talk about whatever and have fun with it. So, but I have noticed, because we've covered the entire gamut of everything from moon landing to JFK. We've done all that. And I think there's a lot of shows out there now that are, you know, they kind of focus in on one of those areas. And that's fine. Go to those shows, because they've probably done more research. But as far as like kind of entertainment shows, like what we're doing, it's people are kind of over the old school ones. Like, they've made up their mind on JFK. They made up their mind on the moon landing. They made up their mind on the Earth is a donut or a sphere or a trapezoid or whatever. So it's kind of like I've seen the interest kind of go more towards current conspiracies, because there is no shortage of that either. And it's pretty much just every day you can break down something that happens, a la your 8 shows a week.
But I think that's just because people, I what I think you can broaden this, though. I think people deep down inside, whether they admit it or not, know that we don't live in a world that we believe that we believed when we were young, we lived in. A lot of people are coming around who we maybe not necessarily have been lied to. Maybe they're not there yet. I'm there, but they might not quite be there. But they're like, something's a little fucky, and I just want to see a little bit more. So I don't think necessarily that you can't lead with the moon landing. You can sometimes, but I don't think that those people would be opposed to listening to it if you get them in with different topics, like what you guys are talking about. Like, you guys are kind of the perfect intro show. You're the gateway show to letting people just see, hey, just think about this. You don't have to decide. We're not telling you how it is. We're telling you what we think and what we've seen. And then you can form your own opinion. And then maybe they'll keep coming back. And then maybe they'll look into their own shit. That's kind of cool. I think a lot of people are there now, more people than would like to admit, I think.
That's where I was going with that, kind of, is that I've noticed a lot more people just in my daily life, not just people on the internet, but like face-to-face people being way more open to things. And all you have to say is something about the moon landing, and they're like, yeah, that's totally fake. And they're what we would call a normie person, that I was like, whoa, I never saw that coming out of you. That used to be a real small fringe group of people where you could talk about like the moon landing being fake and they would actually take you serious. Now everybody's kind of like, yeah, we're being lied to all the time. I would totally believe that.
It doesn't matter. Oh, I would like to think the moon landing's real. That sounds amazing. And fuck, people love that. Landing. It's very comfortable.
Look, I tell you what, when I was telling people, what do you do for a living? Oh, I'm a professional podcaster. It's like, oh, really? What's your podcast on? Conspiracies. Oh, people used to be like, wait, really? No. Ever since Trump got shot, oh, now all of a sudden people's tones are different. It's like, well, yeah, I tell you what, with the way things are these days, and it's like,
Well, it's the coincidences, too, that people are noticing, you know, because we do live in a day and age of, you know, social media and internet, and everybody's kind of calling out like all of the weird little coincidental discrepancies. And as a matter of fact, we found something out. I don't know if we were the first ones to figure it out. I don't really care to take any kind of credit anyway.
But you probably weren't. That's fine.
We noticed something. Probably not. But we noticed something that was really, really strange. So in this, I was actually certain that Kamala was going to win the presidency because of this, what I'm about to tell you.
Oh, yeah, so, yeah, yeah.
So how about literally 2 days before she's announced as Joe Biden's vice president, 2 days before she's announced, the old wrestler Kamala, if you remember Kamala, he was like Ugandan or some kind of shit. He was in the wrestler back in like the 80s, right? And he dies 2 days before Joe Biden announces Kamala as VP. And I was like, oh, could that be a sacrifice in order to usher in the new Kamala? So, because you got to think, like, these people are all into the occult. Like, and I don't care what anybody says, dude, there are way too many things that happen just coincidentally that, like, there's no way it's just happening out of happenstance. So there was that, and I was like, oh, that's really strange. But then you go, and I started really looking into like all the Chinese New Year kind of shit. And I don't know what y'all like, if you basically how the Chinese New Year works is that, your animal is like for the whole year. So I was born in 1990. I was born in a year of the horse, right? But then you get specifics with it too. So like you could be born in the year of the golden horse, the steel horse, the wooden horse, like, and there's all these different variations.
The rocking horse.
There you go.
It's just like all the elements of the animal basically. Right. Well, what was really strange is that we are currently in a year of the wood dragon, which only happens once every every 40 years or once every 60 years? I think it's actually, it's once every 60 years. Okay. So yeah, let me do that math. So 4 times 12 would be,
120.
Anyway, so you would only get a specific like wood horse or whatever every 60 years. And so it's pretty specific. So I went back and I looked, we're in the year of the wood dragon. The last time we had a year of the wood dragon was the year that Kamala was born. And so she's technically a wood dragon. I was like, what are the odds of all this kind of shit? And you see like how the media just completely turned everything around. Everybody was saying that she just like, she wasn't helping Joe Biden at all. And then, you know, it was just very sketchy. So like, I thought for sure that it was absolutely rigged. And I think that they honestly tried to rig it and it just didn't go their way. Like, I think that they did every mystical, magical, occult kind of fucking witchcraft to get her there and it still didn't work. So I don't know.
There's a lot of weird shit with her name in general. I do you know who Ryan Gable is? He runs a show called The Secret Teachings. Anyway, he did a whole like 2-hour breakdown on just her name and like how it turns out in different languages and all that. And it's very, very strangely close to Kali Ma, which, I mean, if you know anything about Hindu gods, it's close to that. But yeah, the whole, when you're talking about, I always tell people I look at politics like team sports, almost like you look at football, Jonathan, where it's more like a production to me, and I like to watch where it goes because I like to keep track of how many times Joe Biden shit his pants. Like, he's got like a over under of this for shitting his pants tonight, or you know what? I like looking at it like that. And but if you're looking at it like that, then like Jacob was saying before the show too about how, you know, sports are rigged, obviously. Then you start looking at everything as kind of a stage production, and then that leads to the black pill, and then people have a problem with that, and then yeah. You kind of climb back out of the black pill hole, and you're like, ah, but, you know, my life is pretty cool. So where do you guys stand with that? What pill are you on at this point? Are you on gold pill? Because that's the highest pill.
Well, I mean, it's easy to get black pilled, especially looking at this stuff every day, constantly like we do, and especially talking about all the occult stuff like we do, not just the name stuff. But I mean, hell, you look at the Olympics just took place. The opening and closing ceremonies of that were start to finish occult symbolism.
They always are, though.
The Olympics are like a trailer for the NWO or something. It's like, here's what we're doing this
exactly.
Year.
And it's not even just them. You look at any kind of main international sporting event, they have something like that. You look at any movie for children that has been dropped in the last 5 years, they have to have something overlaid into it. It's not even something you have to be like...
Even old children's movies. Remember like The Little Mermaid? There was a giant penis on the cover.
Yes.
I'm old enough to remember that. And then in The Lion King when... and I watched these things on our VHS... Our VHS tapes, I went back when I was older and I was like, oh, I know my mom still has this shit. And I watched it. And when I think it's Simba, he lays down on a cliff and there's like dust that goes out and it spells sex. And it really does.
Oh, there was a huge controversy with that in the 90s. Oh my God. I remember that. I was like 9.
That was way back in the day. I don't know how the animation worked then in the 90s, but I feel like people would have seen that. Like they would have seen that frame and been like, wow, that spells sex. We should change this. But right? I don't think that obviously happened.
No, they did that on purpose. Like Pixar and Disney are famous for doing that. In mm-hmm. Toy Story, there was like, you know, weed wallpaper or something that you don't notice that when you're a kid. And then you look it up later and you're like, holy shit, that's weird. There's all kinds of things, especially in the animated movies. And I guarantee you there's way more than we see. These are just the things you can actually see if you press pause.
That makes me wonder how close the directors and the producers and the animators actually are. Like, what are they looking at? Are they just like CEOs in a business?
They all look like
Bill
Gates. Let the
cogs in the machine work. And they're like, put it out. Is it done? Great. Sounds good. I don't know.
But I could even let that go if it was a onesie or twosie every now and then of like, oh, you saw this animator was being shitty. Oh, but we caught it. But like every blue moon, one gets by. That I could even accept. This is an imperfect world and all. But like... Come on, every fucking movie, there's like 30 things. You don't have to be like super clever to see it.
It's a lot of kids' movies. Lot of kids' movies.
It's always kids' movies.
Yeah.
Well, it's subconscious programming is really what it is. It's the things that you wouldn't necessarily consciously realize unless you're like a grown adult. But as a little kid, I mean, they say that you're staying in such like a glazed you know, like hypnotic state up until you're like 7 or 8 anyway. Mm-hmm. So you never actually even are able to reach like the most conscious stage of consciousness, which is beta. So like the beta waves is like a regular conversation like we're having. And it takes kids a little while to be able to have like a full on conversation. That's why the kids are always like, you know, they'll start crying out. Like I have a 2-year-old son, cries and cries and cries and cries. And as soon as you give him what he wants, dude, fucking he's on to the next thing. He's happy. He's smiling. He's giggling. I'm like,
yeah, he figured out what it takes to get what he wants. He's like, all I have to do is do this annoying shit until dad gives me that thing and then I'll be fine.
Yep. Yeah, it's pretty crazy, dude. But yeah, there's a lot of subconscious things that are constantly going on, whether you're talking about the frame rate in certain cartoons. There's a lot of cartoons that I won't even let my kid watch because the flicker, like the frame rate is just so crazy. Yep. What's the name?
Cocomelon.
Cocomelon is the absolute worst at that. There's a reason why the kids love that show. It's because it keeps their attention span so easily because it's changing the camera angles literally like once every 1.5 seconds. And so subconsciously, you're like, you're never going to get bored because there's always something happening right now. You know what I'm saying?
So I was just going to say, that's so funny. I was saying or thinking it's teaching them to be bored in real life. It's teaching them that life is boring as fuck because that's all they see. They're like, wow, I just had an interaction with, I had to talk to a person at a gas station for 2 seconds. It was so boring.
I wonder if that's it or if it's teaching their brain to stay so overhyped and so overstimulated that they can't sit still. So like, have y'all ever heard of the happy song on YouTube?
No, thank God. Mm-mm. Don't do it.
No. The happy song, if you ever have a crying toddler, that like you've done everything, and I'm talking like on some real good parent shit, you've done everything and baby will not stop crying, put on the happy song on YouTube. They have them on a loop. It is an engineered song that will almost 100% guaranteed make your kid stop crying and just like zombie out onto the TV. It's real life. Cocomelon has some of that engineering in it. Like he's talking about, every 6 seconds, the camera angle will shift. You're not on one fixed position for any more than 6 seconds because children's brains do that ADD style shit.
No, no, I think six seconds is way too long. It's 1.5 seconds.
Cocomelon 6, I mean, dude, I've clocked it.
TikTok videos are barely 6 seconds anymore. I mean, it's the same kind of like psycho engineering with TikTok where you can't get a video to blow up if it's over 30 seconds. Nobody's watching that
long.
So
what is the point?
Well, no, look at the TikTok. Every 6 seconds, there's some, they're either zooming in or they're coming out or there's words, bop, bop, bop. Every second, there's something extra going on screen because, ooh, attention. Sure. Yeah.
So I wonder if they're, what are they training kids to be hyper alert, like for some military purpose
inducing
or to
ADHD,
always be bored?
I was about to say forcing ADD so that we give these kids amphetamines at younger and younger ages.
But I feel like they could do it without the drugs though, because it's so much easier. They could definitely feed them something that they're just watching. That's much easier. They don't have to go anywhere.
Though.
They don't have to.
Every kid's got a tablet or a screen and it's free and they make money off of it, off every
view. But he's saying that they're giving them ADD, so they give them amphetamines though to solve the problem. But they have to go to the pharmacy to get the drugs.
Or maybe it's just
to
induce ADHD.
I think there's something they could do in their brain that's quicker and easier without that middleman of the pharmacy.
To keep people, you know, addicted to the screen because that's ad revenue. So if you keep them addicted to the flickering lights all the time, that's all ad revenue. They're making millions doing that. So
there's
it could be as simple
levels.
As that.
There's multiple levels to it. As far as like, you got to still go to the pharmacy. I 100% think that's real because look at the opioid epidemic. Like Appalachia, where you have that one city that the town is prescribed 3 times as many opiates per month as there are citizens of the town, right? You have that all over the country. And so like, yeah, I think they want us constantly addicted to the uppers and addicted to the downers, to where these young kids, by the time they are young adults and they're ready to either join the workforce or go to college or serve in the military or whatever else, they're so addicted to whatever substance has been shoved down their throat by the government that they're either A, unfit to serve, or B, they think they have some sort of a disability to where they are forced to get government checks. And let's not even talk about what kind of psychological issues that can be stemmed off of prolonged high dosage amphetamine use from an early age. How does that residually like look when they're 40? We don't really know that, but we're finding out now. And in a lot of cases, it's not pretty.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. Save big this holiday season, all in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I would say in all cases, it's probably not pretty. I've seen people, I worked for the government back in the day and I was a caseworker and I just saw people come in and they would be on everything under the sun trying to get free healthcare, free food, free money. And guess what? That wasn't the worst thing. If people are coming in trying to get those things, it's sad. So in their mind, they think that's the most important thing, more important than working and being something and going out there and putting themselves out there and trying to be the best person in the world. It was honestly sad to me. I wasn't angry or trying to talk down to them. It was just like, ugh, that's what these people are being trained to do. Be on Social Security forever, trying to get free everything and do nothing with their life. And I mean nothing. Like stay at home and do like a side hustle. They weren't even doing that shit. That would have been awesome. Do that.
I remember this too. That whole trope being kind of a pariah back in the 90s at least, where if you're on welfare, it was kind of like, it was almost like the meme of the lords looking down on the peasants like, just get a job, you fucking dirty. Like, what are you doing? And it sucks because there are some people who obviously cannot work. That is the minority, I would say, of people that are on government assistance. The rest of the people just know how to work the system.
But there's people who do work. Like, when I was younger, when I had my daughter, I was in college. I was like the typical, it was like an 80s movie. I was like full-time waitress and I bartended at night and I had a baby. But I was like, someone told me about food stamps and I was like, oh, I'll go apply for that. That sounds awesome. I can get baby food. That's amazing. I can barely afford that shit. And I went to apply and they treated me like shit. I was like, oh no, I'm only doing this for a little bit. I'm in school. And they were like,
yeah, they're like, everybody says
you.
That.
No, they weren't. They didn't care. I bet nobody said that, honestly. I bet they were like, give me my free food this week, thanks.
Well, they're government employees. It's like DMV workers. They are rude and they can be.
So I got that. So what I was going to say, though, is I had that same job 10 years later. So 10 years after that happened, I had that exact same job. And I made it my purpose to make everybody feel really great when they came in. And not in a weird, like, hippy-dippy, woo-woo way, whatever. But I was like, I don't care if you're rich as fuck. I don't care if you're poor and you're lying to me. Just, I will determine your eligibility and I will authorize or deny your case. Like, that was my job. My job, I was like the underwriter of food stamp benefits, basically.
I did hear plenty of stories, though, where a lot of these people definitely needed money because they smelled like piss. Justin in the chat said it also creates dopamine addiction. So that's kind of where I was going with that. And I just saw a quick video on my dopamine device the other day about that exact thing, where it's like, do you have dopamine addiction? It says on my dopamine injecting device. But it's talking about like this exact thing where it's attention span, it's all boom 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 boom, and then when you run out of that, they're like, oh, but we have this other game and we have this other thing, and it's like a fucking casino in your hand all the time. And I play Monopoly Go, I would know that.
Don't give an ad for that.
I know.
No, so real quick, a lot of those ads, if you look at those, they're from China. You can tell by the verbiage, you can tell by the way the sentences
are
written.
They're great psychologists.
They're maybe not from China, maybe from India, but they're from
a non-English speaking country.
Definitely. Yeah. And they're definitely designed to gain attention from the ADD people.
Oh no, and they, sure, they know how to work that. There's teams of marketers and psychologists. We've talked about this before, where like the marketing team basically in every corporation is just a bunch of psychologists now, and they're like, these are the colors, these are the things, this is the time frame, and you will capture them. And you know, Flappy Bird was like, fuck yeah, and they took off. Before we get going too much further though, Jonathan, do you have anything to say about all of this, or you just want to sit over there and look pretty because you're doing well?
Thank you. I was trying to look pretty. I did just shave my head though, so I'm wearing a hat.
Don't fucking applaud that. No. He had a good growing beard. He had a good head of hair.
I hit the wrong button.
There you go.
I'm just kind of here for the ride kind of deal. I'm honestly, I look at the world in a very different manner nowadays after what happened a month ago. I tried DMT for the very first time and it was absolutely shattering. And I was not okay for like a week and a half. Like I was down in the dumps. I thought that I don't even know how to explain it, but it made me in such a depressed state because I just felt like everything that I had done up until this point in my life was wrong, and I wasn't appreciative of anything, and I understood that like I built up this fucking avatar character that was just so full of shit, and it's, I don't know, I just really
classic
changed,
like, ego death.
Oh, like classic. It was full on ego death, and it was like the scariest thing I've ever done in my life. Like what I had to go through in order for that DMT trip. Like, you know, some people, they talk about all their positive, great experiences. And, you know, I talked to my grandmother who's been passed away for 10 years, or I went and I lived a whole life. I was like 80 years old and I slipped and I broke my back, but I had great memories and I was married and I made all these kids and I had grandkids and I went to work every day. And it's like all that shit can happen within like 3 or 4 minutes because fucking where we're going, we don't need roads. Like this kind of shit. Yeah. In the mind, it is totally different. And so that's kind of what I experienced in the negative fashion. So I actually tried DMT the first time and it was awesome. And I was like, double it up. I want it to last longer. And like 20 minutes later, I tried it again. And that was up until that point, I was just so ballsy for no fucking good reason at all. And so I tried it, and for some reason I went all the way, I went into this Buc-ee's bathroom. For some reason I was at a Buc-ee's like in this DMT trip.
Okay, and for people in California and everywhere else in the world, what is Buc-ee's? Is that a gas station?
Wait. Okay.
They don't have that shit out there, Jacob.
I know, but Buc-ee's is, yes, there are gas pumps at this facility, but it is so much more than just a gas station.
So it's a truck stop.
No, because trucks are not allowed here.
Okay.
What?
Yeah. 18-wheelers and big rigs are not allowed here. This is strictly for transient people, for travelers, for road trippers. Think of a station, truck stop, whatever, the size of a Walmart, only for road trippers.
It's huge. Wow. It's literally, I would say it's actually bigger than a Walmart on the inside. Yeah. It's pretty crazy. They have like 250 gas pumps at this fucking place. It's insane.
Do you park on the inside? Like, is it a drive-in?
I mean, there is things inside, but I mean, there's a whole deli section. There's a bathroom that is consistently cleaned. That's like their whole thing, is having clean-ass bathrooms for road trippers. Any type That's of important. Snack you could want. A whole brisket sandwich station that you simply must stop at. It's almost a law. And whatever type of like blanket or beach gear or whatever, tailgate gear. I've seen diamond encrusted bull heads, like skulls there. Like, I mean, it's about as amazing as you can
imagine. Everything you need on a road trip, a diamond encrusted. Okay. Yeah.
Is it Texas only?
No.
Have them in other states as well, like Alabama and Louisiana and Florida.
All right, I'm gonna have to real-time fact check you on this. Okay, where are Buc-ee's?
The farthest north I found one was, I want to say, Virginia. I know it's more of an East Coast thing, but I want to say there's have them in like Ohio. They're growing. They're making their way.
All right.
Is it Buc-ee's?
Okay. Buc-ee's, aka Boosie's, aka
it's a deep south thing. It looks like Texas, Florida, Tennessee, Alabama, Georgia, South Carolina, Colorado, Missouri.
Colorado.
Colorado.
They're making their way. They're making their way, man. Bucky's is definitely a thing.
They're also planning to open locations in North Carolina, going all out. Mississippi, Ohio, Virginia, Louisiana, Arkansas, Arizona, Kansas,
praise
Wisconsin, and Oklahoma, but not California yet. So it looks like we'll have to road trip to go to the road trip place so that we can go back home.
It's worth the
I
trip.
I feel like Bucky's would be anti-communist, so that makes sense. But
it's very anti-communist.
But anyway, in that DMT trip, I went in my mind to a Bucky's bathroom. And the Bucky's bathrooms are huge, dude. There's like 100 stalls, like 100 stalls, 100 like bathroom, you know, shitters and everything. It's huge. It's awesome in there. But for
some like paradise.
Dude, I'm telling you. For a road trip.
So I'm like standing at this urinal, and then my reality starts to just like almost as if Thanos just snapped his fingers and everything starts to turn to dust and then it just like blows away. Except for it was crazy because it was like cheese grated, like every single aspect of my life.
So like a 90s rap video.
Pretty much. Yeah. It was like it just got like graded into all these tiny little squares, my whole perspective. And those squares got smaller and smaller and smaller until they turned into the tiniest little pixels. And then they started to blow away. And in that moment, I was like, oh my God, I cannot believe that I just did this. I can't believe I just threw my whole life away. And I'm thinking like, I'm dying now. Like, and this is what I did with my life. And so literally every single day ever since then, I'm just like, dude, I'm not spending that much time on my phone anymore. I'm spending like as every possible moment with my kids and my wife and like trying to do the right thing. I'm doing the fucking dishes now, which is pretty crazy. And like, you know, I'm just trying to do
life changing. Right?
It's crazy, dude. Like, I'm just trying to like live life the way that I would if I were to look back. Like, let's say I grow to be like 80 or 90 years old and then I
die. Right.
But whenever I get there, I would like to be able to look back and say, you know what? I did everything that I was supposed to do kind of thing, you know, and not fucked off or anything like that.
Yeah, you're never going to say like on your deathbed, I wish I played on my phone a lot more or when, yeah,
nobody's
you're going to want
that.
More experiences.
I don't
for
know.
Sure.
I think when our kids are 90, if they make it that far, they might do that where they're on their deathbed and they're like, I just wish I had
point,
more Roblox.
You definitely shouldn't do that.
They're comparing
the phones
you screen
designed
time.
To keep us in that, in that state.
They're in their retirement home comparing their life. Time internet carbon footprint comparing screen times like
what would Greta do. I love that you said that though. Not to be Jacob's advocate here, but wouldn't it be funny to have Jacob do that same DMT trip? He would probably just meet Jesus and be happy. You raging pagan, you had this terrible experience because you're going to hell, obviously.
Actually, I tried talking Jacob into doing it. Jacob is not like huge on the hallucinogenics, because it's a little too mystical and magical.
No. I like him.
And
I like him, but that particular night when the DMT was being done, I was with him, and I could have, and realistically, probably should have partaken. However, I was kind of going through some personal shit at that moment, and I knew that my headspace wasn't in the best positive place. And
so
if I'm stepping over the line with that type of like substance, I want to make sure I'm in the land of happy, happy, joy, joy in the real world. You know what I mean? That's just me.
Living in Jesus. Yeah.
No, that's fair. I'm the same exact way. I would do the same thing. I don't want to be in a bad mind state when I take something like DMT.
No, and that's
sounds like it's going to be a bad time.
This is actual medical advice for anybody out there. Like actual medical, I am not a doctor, but this is medical advice. If you're in a bad place, do not do mushrooms. Just don't.
Pro tip, if you're taking antidepressants, hey, let that shit get out of your system before you fuck with mushrooms. You know, certain people I know didn't tell me that they were taking three different antidepressants. And they were like, God, the mushrooms that I just took, why I tripped out and had to call an ambulance. I'm like, bro, you might have wanted to give me a heads up. That'd have been nice.
People don't count those things in. It's weird because people do not count that in when they're doing recreational drugs. They're like, oh, pharmaceuticals are separate from this party thing I'm doing, obviously. It's like, no, those are still coursing through your bloodstream, bro. Sorry, Jonathan, I cut you off.
No, I was just going to say, like, after the first trip, I was like, Jacob, I know, like, you know, you're not in the right headspace right now, but I can't wait until you eventually just try it one day.
And for the record, there was three other people that took it this night and had extremely positive experiences. So it's not like this is a one-off. Everybody was high vibing and was having a blast with the DMT.
High vibing.
Jonathan's the only one. Yeah. He's the only one that decided to double down and go harder again. And this is when things went south.
Well, because I wanted it to last longer. The first time it was so awesome. Like, I'm just out there floating in the universe. I'm seeing like rings of Saturn, which in the back of my mind, I was
it's
like,
fake and gay.
Yes, exactly. But it was awesome. And so then I was like, you know what? I want it to last longer, because typically what people say is whenever you do it, you know, that it'll feel like it lasts a lot longer than it actually does, because it usually only lasts like 3 to 7 minutes, depending on, you know, the dosage and the person, really. And
the strength of your suck.
Yeah, basically. Well, in this one, it actually lasted in real time like 2 or 3 minutes. But in the actual trip, it only felt like it only lasted like 30 or 40 seconds. And I was like, well, now I want to double up, because I want to be able to experience it for a longer time. And so whenever I did do it again the second time, I was like, double it up. I don't want 20 milligrams. I want 40.
Which is logical. If you're trying to have double the experience, doubling the dosage is the logical thing to do. Let's be honest.
Oh, sorry, I hit the wrong button. I meant to say this.
Yes, science!
Because that's just science. You want to double it up? 40 milligrams, let's go.
Well, the thing was, is that not everybody was... So we had it in like one of those, like a vaporizer pen. And not everybody...
At least it wasn't a crack pipe. That's what turned me off to DMT, was the crack pipe thing.
Yeah, I mean, you can get like, you know, just like the weed wax kind of pen or whatever.
Look, who among us has not smoked out of a light bulb or a Coke can before? I ask you.
Oh, no. I mean, I have. I was raising my hand to say I have.
Oh, but... I haven't. Right. I've never done anything like that. I'm such
a
dork.
That's what turned me off.
You never smoked out of a Coke can?
No.
What? Nope. Man, they taught us that in middle school, dude. Okay, anyway.
So, anyway.
Apples?
Dare was at my school in middle school. Remember? We talked about this before the show.
Yeah, there was at my middle school too, but the downside was that just taught a bunch of kids a bunch of shit that we didn't even know beforehand.
Are you shitting me? I gotta go try this, Jimmy. Let's go.
Our kids going home and going to AskJeeves.com. What is a barbiturate? Like, yo, I don't know. I've never even heard of that word. What's up?
All right, fair. So, anyway, what happened next?
I'm like, I know that there's still some residue left over from the other people that didn't hit it like fully. And then I put 40 milligrams on top of that. So it was probably more like 45 or 50 milligrams, way, way, way too much. And so as soon as I inhaled it, it was like it was so awesome. It was the most awesomest thing I've ever experienced, and everything's taken off and I'm finally shooting to the moon. It's going to be an awesome thing. But I lost control of it, dude. It was like too awesome. It was going way too fast, and I could not handle this fucking experience, and it started to like get out of my hands. Like, it was getting out of my grasp. And at that moment, it was like, it was me against myself, and that's not a good
thing. And you lost?
Oh, I lost. Yeah, I lost big time. And so at the end of that, I told Jacob, I was like, we actually got it on video. It's pretty fucking crazy. But at the end of that, I was just like 1,000-yard stare, dude. Like, somebody.
The boy looked like he just got back from NOM.
He went full retard.
Yo, for real. And it was like, this is why I didn't. Everybody's like, it's been great. And then I saw him go negative, and I'm like, see this. This is why I decided not tonight, everybody.
I talked to Jacob afterward. I was like, dude, I'm sorry. Like, I'm happy you didn't do it, because it was too much. And I'm normally a pretty decently confident person. I normally have some kind of sensibility about me, but that even wasn't enough. You know what
Did
I
you
mean?
You piss yourself?
What happened?
No.
Okay.
What happened that you feel like you lost control?
Well, it was, I thought that I died. Like, in the DMT trip, I thought that I literally died. And so.
But it wasn't just die. He thought that he literally went into the nothingness. Like, there was, his soul didn't go anywhere. Like, Thanos snapped and he disintegrated into nothing. Everything he's ever known is gone. Everything, like, the going into the void like that.
So this is the Bucky's story. where
yeah,
you thought
somehow
you...
I went from the okay. Bucky's bathroom into the disintegration, bro.
And it started disintegrating, but it wasn't just everything around me that was disintegrating. It was also me that was disintegrating. And I'm still there, like witnessing it, like full on awareness, seeing that it's all going away, almost as if this reality that we live in was like a dream that for some reason I decided to take a needle and just poke that bubble and have it all explode. And it was all like kind of taken away
from
me.
And it was bad? Like you were freaked out about it?
Oh, dude, I was scared shitless. And so, like, I was so scared that I was, like, trying to remember. Like, I was trying to, like, open my eyes a little bit. Like, in hopes that this reality was still here. And I couldn't keep on opening my eyes. And every time I did open my eyes, I saw, like, two people sitting around me where they were sitting. But at that moment, I thought, that's not real. It's just a memory. Like, this is all, like, it's like hopes and dreams. That's what I'm
saying. So were you out of body? Like, were you looking at yourself third person
view?
No,
he was, like, tripping and looking at himself at the same time. Like, not looking at himself. He was looking at the people around him, like, opening his eyes, tripping balls on the couch, but also experiencing deep in his head.
So you were first person, though. Like, you weren't out of body, like, looking at yourself on the couch or anything?
No. Like, whenever I tried to open my eyes from the fucking nightmare of the DMT trip, I saw that, you know, people were sitting around me. Like in physical reality, but I didn't believe it. I thought it was just a memory because I thought, like, I was convinced that I was dead. Like, that's how, dude, it was. I wouldn't wish that upon fucking Hitler, bro. Like, it was the scariest shit I've ever experienced in my life.
And it was crazy because when he was describing it, one thing that he kept coming back to was how alone he felt. And although he was describing the dissection of everything, when he was describing it, I was telling him, like, dude, you're kind of describing hell. Like actual biblical hell, the whole fire and brimstone thing and the dude with the pitchfork, that's in the hyperbole. Book anywhere. Yeah, but like the whole alone and the fear and the darkness, and I'm like, that's kind of hell actually. I don't know if that's what you peered into or not, you know, but
it was ultimate loneliness, and that's why I've just kind of like decided to change courses in my life and start being a fucking grown-up kind of thing, you know.
Do you think DMT did that? So do you think that was what you needed? Because I've heard so many DMT stories. I love reading anecdotal DMT stories. And a lot of people will say, I died and there was a flame. This is one random story I heard, but they felt like they had died and they were all alone. They were in pitch black and there was a tiny flame and they realized they had to blow on it to help it keep growing. And if it kept growing, that would keep their soul alive. And so they did that for what felt like hours to them, but it was probably, you know, 5 minutes. And then when they came out of it, they were so grateful to be back here, back with all the people they loved and blah, blah, blah. So that seems kind of similar where you were just maybe given an experience to help you realize what you have.
Right. Was it a net positive, I guess?
Yeah.
Oh, altogether, like
afterwards,
the negative experience was absolutely what I needed.
Like, this is what we call a getting scared straight moment.
Yeah, and honestly, like I think that I absolutely needed it because I was at a point in my life. I mean, you know, like the podcast is the podcast. That's kind of a separate thing, but everything else in my life, I was like juggling so many things. I didn't know which direction I wanted to go, and my mind was changing on certain things on what I wanted to do with my life literally almost every fucking day. And I just couldn't find any kind of like stable ground or direction or anything. And as soon as that happened, dude, I knew exactly what I wanted. I knew what I needed to do. And so, yeah, it's pretty crazy. And you go around like, cause the thing is that I thought that I was dead. So in the back of my mind, even still to this day, like that completely wiped away anything selfish about me. Like I try to be as selfless as humanly possible on everything. And as a result of that, because I realized that selfishness is what was like that's what was making my life kind of spiral a little bit, you know? And so like,
yeah, it's pretty true for a lot of people,
but that's
most people.
That is 100% a net positive. That is the universe smiling on you. That sounds like a blessing of a DMT experience. To be honest, you didn't really die. It just seemed like you did. It's like going down a scary roller coaster and your stomach dropped for a minute, but then it was really fun at the end. And then you got off and got to hang out with your family afterwards.
But I think it was Terrence McKenna that said there's no hard trips, there's only difficult trips or something like this, something to that effect, but where it's like there's nothing that's going to, like, you'll be fine And it's going to be difficult for maybe 6 to 8 hours, depending on what drug you do. But at the end of it, you're going to find the net positive out of it. And lucky for you, it was only a couple fucking minutes. Could have seemed like a lifetime.
But it seems like you've changed your life for the better for your lifetime. So it only took a couple of minutes for you to change your whole life.
Oh, I know. Yeah. And I did go into a deep depression there for like a week and a half afterward because felt like I had everything taken from me. And so that's what I was trying to get back to, is that the whole idea of the selfishness, in the back of my mind, I just assumed that I did die that day and everybody around me, I'm just going to try and do everything I can to make their lives as awesome as I can. Fuck me anymore. That's the way I look at it.
No, like it's your second chance.
Yeah, exactly.
Our show talks about that. Then we also go on and talk about my experience with a demon when I was a child. And then we go on and talk about CIA operations. And then we talk about Trump getting shot at. We're all over the place. We are all over the place. And so, yeah, to the point you made earlier, as far as always talking about random stuff, but like still on topic stuff, we've done it in a certain way to where we've been able to kind of free flow it. And just the stuff that we are naturally interested in anyway is the stuff that we are talking about. And thankfully, by the grace of God, we found a listener base that gets down with it. And that's just been the biggest blessing, honestly.
Yeah. We always say to people who are aspiring to be podcasters, just start talking. Your audience will find you soon enough. Like it will happen. I know our fucking ragtag weird ass audience found us. I don't know what the fuck their deal is, but
are they in the chat today? Anyone saying anything?
Yeah. We got Corey, Justin. I'm trying to scroll here.
I still have no idea how most of our cult members find us. I'm gonna be honest. Some people say they found us because it was in the suggested box next to something else they listened to, which is cool. Some people say they just heard about us from a friend of theirs that listened, or they got their family listening to us, or something like that. But
word of mouth is huge.
I like to think that random AI that's trying to take us over accidentally puts us on to these other podcasters because they're learning too. And then they're like, fuck. Like,
it's definitely
later.
Not Google's
algorithms.
But it's
too late at that point.
Josh Monday, I wanted to mention that too. Josh Monday dropped in real quick to say, hey, and I love what you guys are doing. So every Sunday on Cult of Conspiracy, you can find a sermon by none other than Josh Monday of Josh Monday Christian and Conspiracy Podcast. Loved it so much that I was listening to it whilst hungover on Sundays. I figured that would redeem my soul by listening to Josh Monday tell me Bible stuff while I'm hungover. And so I thought it was such a good idea, though, that I asked Drew Misson from Missing the Point, our Australian friend. If you don't know him, check him out. I want him to do that, too. This is another call to that, Drew, if you're listening right now. Okay. I want him to do the same thing, and I have no fucking problem saying I ripped that idea off of you guys. I want our Australian buddy to do a Christian sermon every Sunday, and I'll put it out on our feed.
Yeah, dude.
Sunday service, it works. It kind of like helps balance out all the negative occult, like demonic, satanic kind of shit. And
it's like confession for a Catholic, yeah.
It's like we have to dip our feet into both, though. I feel like it's okay to go to church on Sundays, but also know that church on Sundays is kind of bullshit. You have to live in both worlds so you can be a liaison to people who need help.
Most churches.
So it's no doubt. It's okay to like have these woo-woo experiences, or for you to not have them at all. But for you both to talk about it, that's kind of a liaison for people to say, all right, well, I'm not really sure, but let's hear what these guys have to say. Let's hear their experience.
And you know, I feel like, you know, everybody has their own set of personal experiences that they go through life that leads them to whatever their spiritual beliefs are. Like, it could be a paranormal thing. It could be a mushroom experience, or maybe it was something that happened whenever you were in the middle of a dream, or you were, what's that called? Sleep paralysis or whatever. Like, people have all these different personal experiences, and it shapes what your beliefs are really moving forward. And Jacob, actually, whenever he was real young, he had a demon. Actually, Jacob, do you want to tell that story? I think that is one of the best stories of all time.
The whole thing, dude? I mean, shit.
Yes, I mean, let's hear it.
I mean,
you're nuts in it, dude. Just fucking put the whole thing in, dude.
Before I do tell the story, I might as well tell us that, like, all right, that's kind of why we do what we do with Josh Monday. We have three shows, excuse me, that we have running in that fashion. Josh Monday bringing in the Sunday sermon, right? Now we have a show on Wednesdays, that Strange Brew podcast, that brings up all the cryptid things, right? Then we have Cosmic Peach on Saturday, who talks a lot about the murder mysteries, cold case, serial killers, these types of things. We've noticed that within the conspiracy community and the truther community, there is a group of people that are the flat earthers, that like the Christian flat earthers, that have a large number of the population. And who better to talk about that than Josh Monday? You know what I mean? Oh, and then we've kind of built this dream team, so to speak. And it's an interesting experiment that we're running right now, but I got to say, loved it thus far. Yeah. As far as my demon story. Okay. The quick TLDR of it. When I was very young, my grandmother died. Very young, like I only have two memories of her alive, as a matter of fact. When I was 5 or 6 years old, I started seeing her in the playground, and I kind of thought it was the ghost of my grandmother. So for better part of a year and a half, I would go out at recess if I saw her out there in the field, and I would go play with her or whatever, and life went on. One day, she kind of shifted forms on me, and it was very clear that I had not been playing with my grandmother this whole time. I didn't know exactly what this entity was, but I remember a couple of things about its face shifted and changed. The voice changed. It got bigger, and a glowing figure came and kind of took care of it for me. And again, I was 5 or 6 years old. I didn't have a lot of context. I didn't have a lot of spiritual know-how. I had been raised primarily Catholic. My mother was whatever flavor of Christianity she was vibing with at that time. So my dad was very hardcore Catholic, being Louisiana, most people are. So basically one Sunday I would go to mass, one Sunday I would go to service, whether that be Pentecostal, Presbyterian, full gospel, Baptist, whatever.
And Saturdays you do the like burning a goat or something like that?
No, man, super Christian. Oh, okay. Household growing up. Super Christian household growing nice. Up. Wednesday nights were always at some other type of church, whether that was a Wednesday night catechism or CCD for the Catholic church, or Wednesday night service with mom's church. Very hardcore Bible thumping household. But anyway, cut to, I'm 16 years old. I had forgot and repressed a lot of the stuff about this entity. And it visited me once again. I was 16. I was old enough to know what was going on. I was awake. I was laying in bed, and more or less it was holding me down. And I couldn't breathe. I couldn't speak. I couldn't scream. I couldn't do anything. I could
classic
hear my parents.
Sleep paralysis from but I was a awake. Pagan's view.
No. But see, that's the thing. I looked into sleep paralysis demons, if that was what this was. I wasn't asleep. I could hear my parents having conversations in the kitchen. Like, I was fully aware of what time it was, all of that. So I wasn't asleep. So it couldn't have been sleep paralysis. And I actually used to have scars on my ribs from the claws, but that's neither here nor there. Then again, this angel came to save me from the situation because I was not strong enough to fight it on my own. Long story short, I got a very good look at this angel and what, you know, the type of angel that it was. You could tell because of the way it looked. I actually got to ask what its name was, and my co-host will never let me forget this because my angel's name was Jonathan. And for some reason, he thinks that that means that he was my angel, but that he clearly wasn't.
Yeah, I got you. You don't need to believe in me, Jacob.
I don't. See?
Yeah. Wait, so what did the angel look like, though? Was it Owen Wilson? Was it like blonde hair, blue-eyed? Or was it did it look like this fucker up here with the tattoos?
Blonde hair. Again, I think blue eyes. I'm not 100 on that, but I do believe it was blue eyes.
It was Owen Wilson. Okay.
He was way taller. He was like 6'8",
better
6'10". I know there was definitely two sets of wings. I don't know if there was a third. There may have been one around his feet.
Did he have eyeballs all over
himself? What did he do to the angel or to the devil, to the demon? I'm sorry. What did the angel do to the demon?
He pulled out a bow and arrow with flaming arrows and started pegging it in the forehead until it went away.
Wow.
Yeah. That's some wild shit, and like I'm fully aware of that. Then cut to when I was in the Marine Corps and I lost my faith. The demon became very, very present in my life on pretty much a daily basis. Got really familiar with him. Refound my faith later on, and the demon came back to me to try to. It fed off of terror. These types of entities feed off of fear. I did a little more research into demonology and started looking into the telltale signs of what he looked like to know like what type of demon he was.
The demon never told you his name though, but the angel did.
I never asked the demon his name, to be honest with you. I asked the angel his name.
Demons won't tell you their name.
No, they
That's
will.
That's how you can banish them.
Or you have to know it and then you tell them or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, no, demons don't want to tell you their name. Angels don't care.
So the demon's name was Jacob.
Well, like, hey, who knows? Who knows? Or Yakub? Who knows? But I basically had to fight this demon on my own later on, and I discovered how to do that, which was way easier but way scarier than expected. And then he tried coming at me at a later time, and his eyes had actually changed colors. So I know that at least he had been knocked down a peg or two as far as the levels of demonology goes. But that all has been a very small part of the building blocks of what has made my faith what it is. I'm not your typical Christian. I don't believe in churchiosity or pretty much any of that bullshit. I'm not saying that all organized religion is bullshit. I'm saying that like 99.9% of it is.
That's fair.
No offense,
and
Josh.
It sounds
Monday,
like you
we
had your
you,
own. It sounds like you had your own DMT trip by yourself. I mean, without having to do any drugs.
Yeah, I guess in a certain way. Yeah, but even after I'd had those experiences, I had lost my faith. But I still, it was on the agnostic kick, right? So there was about 3 years while I was in the Marine Corps when I just pretty much figured all of the Abrahamic religions are based in bullshit. It's for crowd control. It's for this reason. Dot, dot, dot. You can name the fallacies and the bullshit. Fine. But this clearly was made by intelligent design. I mean, that's not a crazy thing to say. But maybe it was a group of entities or it was this other one. So I started doing as much digging into every religion that I could find, every mystery cult, every denomination of every religion. And don't get me wrong, there was a lot of them that were super cool, a lot of them that caught my eye. But none of them could go through any bit of the bullshit sifter of my own mind. As far as, because I'm also very big into facts of science and history. Now, I understand the history is a lie agreed upon, but when you look at archaeological studies and things and they can corroborate stories, we get a decent idea of what things used to be. And when you really look at everything, there was only three religions that even came close to being based in facts, and that was Judaism, Islam, and Christianity. And then the more digging I did, I was left with my basic findings of either A, I could acknowledge this book to be truth and I could apply that, or B, I can acknowledge this all to be facts and turn from it because I'd rather try to do things the hard way. So that was when I made my choice. But I also don't really get down with the whole tattooed on smile, living life like you're just overjoyed to be breathing right now.
No, that's cult behavior, dude. We have, I don't know, not to get too sidetracked, but I know exactly what you're talking about. So we have out here in Northern California, we have this organization called Bethel, and people from all around the world to come to our little town to partake in this spiritual, supernatural mystery or whatever
the
fuck
they call
it. They
drop gold from the ceilings.
It's weird, dude. And they have that cult smile. Like, I'm a delivery driver. I used to deliver to that church. And when I'd go in, it's a mega church. It's like one of these mega churches. I'd come into the office and they'd be doing this weird, like, Truman Show, like, hello. Yeah. How are you? Isn't the Lord great? I'm like, I don't know.
The entire state of
work.
Utah, dude. All the Mormons had that same tattooed on smile. It's insane.
Dude, it was creepy. It was very off-putting, first of all. And I grew up Christian, so I knew the difference where I'm like, this is not of the Lord. First of all, this is something else. This is weird. I'm not going to say demons, but you're doing some other shit here because that's not a normal thing. Christians I know are sad sometimes, and they're also fucking pissed off, and they curse.
Yeah.
You're being way too good right now. This is very strange. Jonathan, have you seen that kind of shit? Have you seen the cultish behavior, the tattooed on smile and that kind of thing? I'm sure you have.
I would say 99% of the reason why I will not look into Christianity is because of Christians. So that's honestly the real reason. Like,
and I am 98% of that 99%.
But to be honest, I mean, you want to talk about hypocrisy. Like, the hypocrisy and the judgment has got to be the ultimate, like, anti-magnet towards anybody trying to talk somebody who had never heard about that into, you know, reality. Like that's kind of the way I've always felt about it. But honestly, that's not the only reason I'm not for Christianity. I actually love a lot of the Bible. I think that there's a lot of like very fascinating things that are going on within in there. And I think that, you know, there's
a lot of rape, a lot of murder.
Oh, lots, yeah. Ask Lot and his two daughters. I don't know how that story made in the Bible, but that's a whole like weird extra thing.
There are a lot of beautiful parts to the Bible, too. I was just being a idiot. But
No. The story of Lot and his daughters, that's fucking wild. They got him so drunk that he couldn't see his hand in front of his face, and they both rode him to get pregnant from him. Like, it's a whole fucking thing. Like, yeah.
Yeah,
and I also stories think in the Bible for sure.
Wild shit.
I also believe that there are literally a million ways to interpret whatever it is that you're reading. And that's why there are thousands of different religions of like the Bible in general, whether it's, you know, just the Old Testament or the people that believe in the New Testament, you know, the Christians and whatever. But I just think that I like to search for the truth on my own. I don't like to be told what to believe. And I think that, you know, whenever you're told what to believe, it's the same people that tell the conspiracy crowd, don't do your own research. It'll lead you down. It'll lead you into conspiracies and you don't want to believe all that. It's like, no, I would rather do my own research. And so whenever literally everything else that is spiritual, what I would deem spiritual anyway, is labeled as demonic or of Satan, I just have a problem with that. And like, there's a meme out there that I always think about. And it's like these two little girls, they're sitting underneath a tree, and each one of them has like one little girl. She's reading from the Quran. The other little girl is reading from the Bible. And the one little girl that's reading from the Bible, she goes, oh, look right here. It says that you're going to hell. And then the one reading the other book, she goes, oh, look right here. It says, oh, you're going to hell too. And it's like, believe or you have to experience eternity in the worst possible place. Like, I don't
know. Most religions teach that.
I'm aware. That's why I'm anti-religion personally. And I just don't believe in instilling fear in order to, you know, get people to believe. And to be honest, you can call it whatever you want, but there's a lot of people that believe in a religion because they don't want to end up in the bad place, right? Like,
no.
That was from control. That was based off control from people who wanted to take over religion. Go ahead, though. Sorry.
No, I love that. That's been my main, I mean, growing up the way I did, that's been my main thing, is where I'm like, choose me or you burn forever is an ultimatum. Jacob, I'm curious what you think about that, because this is the average Christian church, you know, fire and brimstone, especially Southern Baptists. It's like,
sure.
You choose me or you're going to burn forever. And it's like, oh, wow, that's very loving. Thank you for that. You give me free will and then say that if I don't choose the right one, though, that I'm fucked forever. That's not, that's like a toxic relationship right there. That's not how I think God is at all.
How is that toxic? Giving you free will, right? Giving you the freedom to choose whatever choice you want and then hoping you choose the right one.
Because described it is like, if I have my kid and we're walking along a path and I, you know, he's behind me, so I dig a trench real quick, and then he comes up and I have it covered up, and I'm like, hey, you can choose whatever you want, but if you choose wrong and you go forward without me, you might fall into a pit, even though I created that pit.
But you told him that if he went on, he would fall in the pit.
No,
he gets to choose, though.
Well, I know, but he gets to choose. But so
without him,
there's
him
really
any direction.
There's really no choice if you know that that's the choice, because you're like, wait a minute. So you're saying you dug that pit for me to go into. You created everything. You created that pit. Why would you choose to make that pit and then make me choose me or the pit? That's ridiculous. Okay. If you love me, you would carry me over the pit instead. You know what I mean?
So free will. Yeah.
So this is the example that I usually give as far as my argument for the free will versus divine destiny, if you will, and I get that. That was always my big stick with it, too, was if God is an all-powerful and all-loving God, how is he allowing so much evil and so much bad in the world? Well, it's because of free will. Well, then why did God allow free will? Well, that's because he doesn't want a bunch of mindless zombies to choose to follow him. He wants us to choose to follow him out of love, because that's the arrangement. But Let me give you.
But why choose me or you burn forever? That seems like such an extreme. Like,
hold on. Let me give you an example. Okay, as far as the free will goes, let's talk kids. You brought it up, and that actually works very well with the example I usually give. So let's say I'm cooking. Okay, I'm at home alone. It's me and my two kids, and I'm cooking. Cool. My son, he's 3 years old. My daughter's one. Awesome. Now, my son has already burned his hand on the stove once before. Okay, he's already learned this lesson, but sometimes kids are a little extra hard-headed. I myself have been called a slow learner a time or two, so I get it, right? So I'm cooking, and I got to turn around and do something, and he's right next to me, and I see him, and I'm like, look, buddy, don't touch the stove. Okay, if you touch the stove, you're going to burn yourself. Now, I know he's about to touch a sieve. I'm fully aware of this, but I have to turn to do something. Now, I pre-warned him, and he's going to do what he's going to do, but he's going to do it. He's free willed to do that. I turn, he burned himself. Now, that is like what we, as humans, I would say would be, if God gave us this life, whether we asked for it or not, who could say, but he gave us this life and he gave us these rules to follow. He says, if you follow these, things will work out really well for you. If you don't, you'll get burned. We, on our own free will and choosing to do what we do, but we're also born into sin, but that's a talk for in a little bit anyway. We burn ourselves. All right. Cause and effect. He told us we get burned. We burned ourselves. But let's throw an extra wrench into that. My daughter, who was one at the time, who my three-year-old didn't know, walked up behind him before he touched the stove. Psh, he reaches back. He elbows her in the face. Now, my one-year-old daughter has a broken nose who did nothing. She did nothing wrong in this situation. But she just got hit because of someone else fucking up their free will. Now, that's not fair, but no one promised us that life was going to be fair, ever, as a matter of fact.
No, yeah, and so the only problem I would have with that metaphor is that you're talking about you burning your hand, learning a lesson, allowing him to do that. And I've said that exact same metaphor where it's like, do you tell them not to burn their hand and keep him from doing it? Or do you let them burn their hand a little bit so they don't do it on their own later? I get that. We're talking about the difference between that and you're going to burn your hand forever in hell for always because you didn't choose the right path. It's quite a difference.
No, I agree. But the thing is, you're alive right now. You're breathing, meaning you have currently the opportunity to change all of it. You see what I'm saying? You yourself right now have the choice to turn your life around and do the right thing. Every day we wake up, that's a blessing and an opportunity for us to make the correct
choice. I'm not disagreeing with you, dude. I grew up exactly like that. I know every point you're going to say, but what I mean is that it seems like a gun to your head type of thing where it's like, you better behave during this life because everything will be better later. Trust me.
I know exactly how you feel about it. So Joe,
I know I get both sides.
I've been married to Joe for a long time.
Joe feels like it's a job interview. Like God is like, hey, I don't want you to burn your hand, but I guess I'll see what you do. Let's see how this plays out. And you can do whatever you want, but you better fucking impress God. Or else you'll burn forever. And Joe's like, fuck you. I'm going to fucking flip the system, you motherfucker.
I'm not even like that.
I would love to please
God as much as possible. But if I don't live up to your standards or like, then I'm just fucked forever. Like that doesn't seem like, I don't know.
But that's the thing. None of us are going to live up to that standard. That's the point. We are all born into sin inherently. You never have to teach a two-year-old how to lie. You never have to teach a child how to deceive somebody. You have to teach them to tell the truth. You have to teach them to share. Humans inherently are going to do the shittiest option for survival because that's within human nature. We have to make the choice.
Like that.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And that's a part of it. He knows we're sinners. It's all good. He's not mad at us about it. I promise you.
He better not be. He made us like that.
You have to teach us that. You have to teach your kids that it's okay to feel that way. But here's why we don't do that. Here's the effects that it has.
Exactly.
No, and that's the main moral. Somebody on Facebook the other, I don't even know who it was asking what the moral compass for somebody who isn't religious is, or who is religious. And my general moral compass for that is. Yeah, pretty much. It's like, does it infringe on the rights of others? And this is where we get into libertarianism and they're retarded faggots, whatever. But it does it infringe on the rights of others? If it doesn't, who cares? Like if two people want to be gay, for instance, hot topic. If you want to be gay, fine. Cool. If that means you go to hell in my belief system, that's none of my problem. Like, do your thing.
Right.
Go be gay. Be the gayest gay you can gay.
It doesn't, okay? Right. For the record. We do not believe right. that gay people go to hell.
But if it's something else, like this dude just murders people and then he goes to jail and then murders people. If there's a hell, that guy probably is going to hell because he's not figuring it out in this life, at least. So, and I would say he does. Or if you're raping kids or something, that's a whole different, like, if you continue doing that, if you do it once, I mean, but if you continue doing it,
yeah,
you deserve hell in my view. And that's just my view. But like,
right.
If you have some dude that's just like, I didn't follow Christ my whole life, but I tried to make sure I helped the poor and like did all this stuff. In the classic Christian view, unless you accepted Jesus into your heart, you're still going to hell.
Mm-hmm.
So what is that?
So, okay. Do you want to hear my wooiest example for this?
Let's because
this is so wooey and it's,
we got religious on this kind episode. Of you're welcome. You fucks.
I didn't expect it, but like, here we are, you know,
we end
so there's
up
the metaphor of God breaking himself into fractions, fragments of pieces. We're all tiny pieces of God. Okay, so what if we are all that? And this is just a fucking metaphor to be kind of funny. But if God is going through every little bit of himself. Now imagine if this was you. Just you yourself, everyone listening, you guys taking yourself and breaking down every part of yourself and throwing out the parts you don't want anymore and keeping the parts that you love so much. What would that look like if an AI did it? If you took a simulation and was like, okay, let's
debugging.
Take me, yes, and debug myself, but on a plane. It could be a flat plane. It could be a globe. Like, I don't know. Let's throw it out there.
It's a donut.
And I'm going to differentiate between the parts of myself that I love and the parts of myself that I hate. And I'm just going to let it all out there and it will all play out. And what's left, the beauty, that's what I keep. That might be what God's doing right now.
It's refining in the fire. I think the Bible says that too.
Indeed.
You know, I used to have a real issue with, you know, how everybody is born into sin all because fucking Eve just had to eat an apple or whatever, right? Like,
he was hangry, bro.
No need of assigning blame. It is what it is.
It's her fault. Let's just be real. It's her fucking fault.
She was a hungry bitch. Okay.
She could have identified as a man. We don't know. This is like, 6,000 years ago, apparently?
Right.
I see that as assigning blame to the Jews for crucifying Jesus. Like, yo, that was, let's let it go. You know what I mean? That was then. It's all good.
Yeah, okay.
We didn't kill Christ. My shekels. Oh, wow. Didn't expect that to go that way, but all right.
That's for my buddy Murph. Shout out Murph.
I used to always like, you know, there's one term that is in the Bible that basically says that God sees us as unclean rags, essentially, right? And I was like, looking at me like an unclean rag, like how that is so demeaning to just call me an unclean rag. I'm a sinner and I'm going to hell unless I do exactly what you tell me. And I used to really rebel against that kind of idea until there was one day I had like this weird epiphany and I was talking about the Matrix or, you know, whatever, something like that. And I was talking about, I'm personally somebody that believes in reincarnation, but like I was talking, pretty sure I was talking about reincarnation, how we would just get accepted back into the Matrix, whatever, right? And I was like, you know, it's kind of like, you know, your body is essentially just like clothes, and you know, you eventually throw your clothes away because
meat
they
suit.
Wear out, and nobody keeps the same clothes for their entire life. You're eventually going to wear them out, and they're going to be dirty, and they're going to be stained, and you're not going to want to wear that out in public.
They're going to be fat and hairy, and you don't want it anymore. Yeah,
basically. And I was like, oh, that is so interesting, because if God sees us as unclean rags, that's what we would look back at our old bodies, like whenever we die and we're like raised up above, you know, our body or whatever, and we're having like this out of body experience, we're looking down at our dead body and be like, oh my God, I'm so happy I don't have to go back there anymore. And you're now you're looking at yourself as if you're the unclean rag. And so I thought that was like, I mean, maybe that's what he meant. I don't know. I hope that that's what he meant.
I love that, because when I look at myself as a child, I'm like, ew, gross. Kind of unclean rag type of vibe. Like, ugh.
Well, I think
or
maybe
look
God's
at yourself when you were 22.
Or 2 days ago.
Fair. I think maybe God's trying to teach us how to be the best person. And maybe that's what the Bible is saying. It's like, hey, here's a bunch of stories about people who made fucked up decisions. How do you feel about that? What are you going to do about that? Do you think that's a fucked up story? Do you think that I believe that? I don't know. It's pretty cryptic, but we get to make our own decisions as to how we proceed after reading that. And then he gets to make the decision as to how he decides how our life goes.
And caveat all of this conversation, like umbrella wise, we actually talked to Catalyst Jones from the White Rabbit podcast. Shout out to him too.
And yes, indeed.
We basically were like, no, we are more Christian than not. Trust me. I just have questions. Okay. I grew up Christian. I lean that way. My whole fucking worldview is through that lens.
Sure.
So don't get me wrong when I question these things. I just got fucking questions. Call me fucking Doubting Thomas if you want. I don't care.
And I was baptized Baptist when I was a teenager. My parents made me go to church for 2 to 3 years of my teenage life just so they could baptize me and probably feel good about themselves.
It was
but I learned a ton. I learned so much from that experience. And I started reading the Bible. And it definitely connected me to God in a way that I never would have expected. And a friend had told me maybe 5 years before that, she was like, God presents himself to everyone on earth. And she was very liberal Christian. She's like, so even those like island people that live wherever, they can experience God and they get to make their decision. And I was like,
They do it by eating people. It's their way.
Right.
It's crazy honestly, when a liberal sounds racist. It sounds crazy when a liberal goes extra racist while trying to not be racist.
They don't mean to. They got to dance around it a bit.
Those island people and like, yo, first of all, that phrase is racist. Then saying it in that tone
made it racist. Did you say those people?
I think she actually said something way worse than that. I think what I said was much better.
But I mean, it
was like the cannibals on some island. It was something like that.
If somebody were to like hold a gun to my head and be like, who do you believe in? I'd be like, Jesus Christ all day. Okay. Don't shoot.
No, Joe would be like, that's why Jesus Christ is
Maniga. Yeah, Jesus Christ is
Jesus Christ is Maniga.
But that's the point, though. You're supposed to question the book. You're not supposed to read it cover to cover and be like, ah, yes, knowledge. I'm good now. Like, yo.
This is literal.
If you read that book cover to cover and have no questions, then I question your mental sanity.
Yes.
Okay?
Thank you.
Absolutely.
You're supposed to question it. But that's why I believe. Absolutely. That's why I believe in going to certain churches and I believe in testing the spirit at those organizations. To see, look, I'm also the same way if I wanted to learn about rocket science. Yes, I could open a textbook and read it myself. I could also go to a college class and go to a physics professor and learn from him a little bit. I see going to a church, potentially, not always, mostly, as a matter of fact, rarely, it's like going to that. You're going to somebody who is wiser on the subject matter, who can break things down and present it in an easily digestible way.
Yeah.
Okay, like, but if you from learn their about... opinion, though, sorry.
Like, yes. No.
When I was a little kid, when we went to that church, our pastor was amazing. He was a great guy. But he said he was interpreting. He started his sermon with that. I'm interpreting what Jesus said. And I thought, I was like 12 or 13. And I thought, what the fuck? So you're just interpreting. Yeah. And my dad was a lawyer. And he taught us about law and how law is interpretation as well. And you can make of it what you will, as long as you have the best argument.
Gotta find the loopholes.
So that is where my mental state was. I was like, this guy has the best argument. That's why he has a church. Because he's got the people in.
And he wasn't
a bad guy again.
By the way, right. If you want to learn about astrophysics, everybody knows you go to Elon Musk.
Yes. Clearly.
Yeah.
Clearly.
No, it's Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Oh, Neil deGrasse Tyson. Right. Yeah.
Faggots.
no doubt. Jonathan, do you have anything to add to this current fucking shotgun of what we're talking about?
I think that you can actually find a lot of esoteric truths within the Bible. I think that Jesus spoke in parables for a reason. I think that there isn't a singular way to take the Bible at its word, because I think that the Bible is ever changing, to be honest with you, depending on where you're at in your life. And
Oh my gosh. I'm so sorry. I don't want to cut you off, but me too. I was just thinking that there are so many phrases in the Bible that are designed to meet people where they're at. And when you read it, it will resonate with you.
Yeah, absolutely. I absolutely agree. And I think that there's just a lot of different ways that you can look at it. And I don't know if there is, and this is just my personal opinion, I don't think that there is a exact right way to interpret it. I think exactly like you said, it meets you wherever you're at, and you can interpret it how you interpret it at that moment. And I mean, I know that there's going to be a lot of people that disagree with that. Well, just, you know, check yourself with the rest of the other 10,000 religions that are, you know, quoting the Bible as well. But at the same time, there are certain things that are within the Bible that I find very thought-provoking. And that is one of the main ones that we just got done talking about this on a live show the other day. But it was basically about how God is the Alpha and the Omega, right? The beginning and the end, meaning everything that started at the beginning and everything that goes all the way through the end is God. Am I wrong in saying that?
No, I think that's 100%.
That's straight scripture, son.
I feel so, like, yeah, okay, yep. I so think we're on the same page here.
If that's not wrong, then that means this microphone's God, this hat is God, this t-shirt's God, this apartment I'm in right now is God, my little two-year-old son is God, my 12-year-old daughter is God, my wife is God, I'm God, you're God, you're God, because
we're all... Oh, no, I don't think it's that. I don't think we're all gods or we're all that.
No, I think
we're all a creation of it.
No, there's a differentiation between saying everything is God and everything is a God or is God. I've had to say that a million times, too. I think with Josh Monday, actually, too, where I'm like... Okay, I think there's a, it's almost, what do they call that when there's God and everything? There's a name for it. I can't
omnipresent.
Remember what it is, but, no, no, it's panpsychism, maybe? Something like that. Okay. Anyway, but I don't
there's
think.
Consciousness there, and everything.
Okay, a level of consciousness, but it's a fucking gradient to hell and back and heaven and everywhere in between. I don't think my laptop is conscious in the same way that I am. I don't think my headphones are, or the rock out there, but it's all kind of like combined into this whole consciousness. It gets really weird really fast, and I think that's why the Bible tried to break it down and be like, no,
sure,
maybe not.
But is God only consciousness? Does it say that anywhere in the Bible?
I think God is the life force of the universe. It is what makes everything animate.
The Bible doesn't say exactly what God is, okay? Keep in mind, the Bible is not the all-encompassing answer to every question ever,
it's
period,
very specific
ever.
That it is a male, though, right?
Yes. Multiple times over, it does specify that he is a dude. There's actually never a mention of a female angel either, if we're going to be honest. That's just kind of assumed. But, I mean, that's not to say they don't have them. They just never make their way to Earth. Maybe they got gender roles. I don't know.
They're up there making galactic sandwiches, bro.
They're too busy, making sandwiches.
That's it.
For the record, I do want to... I'm trying to make a... my point that I'm trying to make is I don't believe that I'm God. I don't believe that you're God. I don't believe that everybody's God. I'm not saying that. I think that if we're talking about the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning to the end, well, where does the beginning actually start? Is the beginning only the things that have consciousness, or is it literally the beginning of the dust? Is it beginning of the sun? Is it beginning of the moon? Where does the beginning start? Because it's almost like I my own personal interpretation of God would be like, all right, if this whole experience is a matrix. Let's just call it a matrix because there's no really better term for it, right?
Sure.
But let's just call this whole experience a matrix. And that matrix exists. This is going to get really weird. That matrix exists as a thought within the creator's mind. Let's just throw it like that. Well, that means that everything inside of that thought would be inside of that creator's mind. And if every single thing within that thought is in the creator's mind, then that means that everything would be included because it's all just part of his thought. And so I'm basically just looking at it like it's all a matrix and every little bit of it is part of God, is part of source, is part of the universe, is part of whatever fucking dream that the creator is having that allows us to at least have some kind of awareness of some kind of existence. I think what it is.
I'm totally 100% on the same page. That was what I was trying to get at earlier. I don't know. I think that this is all a dream of his or a thought of God, and we're all just a part of it.
It's like the combined RAM of the PC. Like, it's all part of it. Anyway.
And if that's the case, and this is all, let's use the Matrix as an example, right? If this is all just a series of ones and zeros, right? Again, intelligent design at least had to be used in some way, shape, or form.
Agreed.
But that means that this is a pass or fail event. Life is a pass or fail event, meaning that, yes, there's somebody to grade the paper at the end. There's somebody to judge your life. And depending, now we could argue about what makes your life good. Did you do X, Y, or Z right? Now that's the argument of morality and religion and culture and things and stuff, right? The ancient Spartans thought that it was morally good and righteous for them to rape and pillage their slave population once a year. We would call that barbaric. But that's
we
because
would,
of
but
our
what would God
culture.
Call that? It's not really for us to
their God
judge.
Called it right. Great.
I'm their just God. Saying, no, but that's my point. Their God called that good. The Aztecs, they raged a flower war once a year where they
that
would
their
get,
God called it good.
Yeah. They were their gods were pleased and happy with this slaughter and sacrifice. The Aztecs, once a year, they would wage the flower wars on all of the local tribes, and they would take prisoners, not bodies, prisoners, to go back to their mountain and cut out the still beating heart because this was good and morally righteous with their gods. So society and culture have a lot to play with that, as well as religion. The two are kind of intertwined.
I think you're going to be a piece of God that he will keep.
I hope so, anyway.
So
both
I really want to break down a little bit more what I'm saying, just because I feel like it is a really
let Jonathan go for the next 5 minutes. Yeah. Okay.
We've been interrupting.
We've
you.
Been
I'm
putting
so
our dicks in his mouth for the last like 5 minutes. Go ahead.
No, I mean, full on DP me all day. I'm good with it, you know,
boner balls
boner.
But honestly, like, I love the idea that we are kind of all just thought forms of whatever the creator is. And so think about it like this. If you have a dream, like you go to sleep tonight and you have a dream, well, there are a lot of moving parts within that dream. Maybe your mom's there. Maybe your dog's there. Maybe people from work are in there. And it seems like from your perspective that these are all individuals and they're all kind of thinking on their own, right? But then you wake up and you're like, oh, shit, that was all just in my mind. So if a piece of me was making everybody in my dream do everything that they were doing, even though I didn't know that I had any kind of control of them. They're just, you know, fragments of my dream. I think that, like, if we're over here and we're thinking about judging, you know, being judged or whatever, I mean, what if we are just like a dream of God's or a thought of God's, is God going to like damn you to hell if all of us are kind of just moving pieces within his mind?
No, but I feel like if you do what he told you not to do, he would. But I mean, I don't know though.
I don't know. Have you ever been on a diet? I feel like it would be like a mind diet. He's like, I'm not doing that anymore. Like, no shave November. I'm not watching porn anymore. I'm not doing this anymore. It could, if it's a mental exercise, like 100%, yes, people could be damned.
I don't know, dude. It's just, it's a trip to really think about. And honestly, I only bring that kind of stuff up because I've done so many like different mushroom trips that just makes my mind splinter into 1,000 pieces. And it's fun to really just like, you know, play around with it because I don't know if any one person has it all figured out. And so it's still up for interpretation, kind of. That's
no, I don't think any one person will ever have it figured out. And I also, like you were saying earlier, I 100% believe in reincarnation. I think that when we're done on this plane, we go back up and we're like, fuck, I did that again. Oh, God damn. Or like, I mean, maybe we wouldn't say God damn, but whatever. We get to break down what we did and then we get sent back if we're lucky.
So I think reincarnation exists to an extent. I don't know if we show up as a cow in one life or an ant or, you know, anything else. I think maybe
I think
once
that would
you,
be the punishment for something really negative. Maybe, like you're a mole.
Yeah, but
or
that's
a
not bad a bad punishment. Like if I really fuck up and I end up as an ant, what's my lifespan? 30 seconds or a day? Like, okay.
Have you ever thought of what it would be like to be an ant though?
No.
Okay, well,
I feel
about
like it
that.
Wouldn't feel like 30
you're
seconds.
You're super strong.
If you're that life.
Yeah, it would feel like a million years.
If you're an ant, you're buff as fuck because they can carry like 1,000 times around.
They have that sweet exoskeleton. Is that what you're thinking? Okay, whatever.
The whole ant pile is just singing Everything is Awesome all day, every day on repeat because it's full on hive mind.
Everything
fuck yeah.
Is awesome.
Have you ever seen A Bug's Life? They have a great life, dude. I would love to live where those fucking ants live.
Cool.
It's great.
Was that Disney, Pixar?
Yeah. They probably have sex.
Oh, they depicted it really cool.
They probably have boner in the clouds or something like that. I don't know.
Probably, honestly.
Pretty rough.
Well, dude, we'll let you guys go, but do you have any parting words of wisdom for our audience? Because you haven't been on in a while.
This was an awesome conversation.
I loved it.
We should talk to you guys again soon.
We're just polishing this turd over here.
I feel
polishing
like we just kind of popped the bubble of what is this life? What is our purpose?
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows. Absolutely. That's true. But I think we all really know deep down. We don't know in this plane, but I think we all know subconsciously.
We all have good ideas, but Jacob does not know.
That's why dreams are so important to people, and it's only personal, and you can't talk about it with anyone else. They make it so it's segregated. You can't talk about your fucking dreams because you probably go to the same places that everyone fucking else goes to, but they're like, that's vacant gay. Don't fucking
like,
shut up.
Nobody
don't talk about this later.
Nobody say anything about the holodeck. It's like Fight Club. Nobody talks about the holodeck, okay?
Right. You know what's crazy too is that we have 60,000 thoughts per day on average.
Every way less than that.
60,000 on average, which is pretty crazy whenever you really think about it, because you can probably only recall like 5 or 6 of them. And I think that a lot of those thoughts are really happening subconsciously. And there's a lot of things that people don't want to talk about, or they don't even think to talk about until like something reminds them, that was one of my 60,000 thoughts today. That's what I was thinking. And so I think that there's just a lot more to us than what we really give ourselves credit for. And I think that it's possible. I'm not going to say it's possible to figure it all out, but I think we can get pretty fucking close, dude.
I think so, too. I think we're definitely held back from it. I think there's a reason for it that's not necessarily nefarious. I think there's like a learning aspect to this plane that we're supposed to experience. But I don't know. I think we should write down our dreams, maybe write down those 60,000 thoughts, write down every thought that you have and then go back to it.
Yeah,
because we definitely forget. Well, yeah, for sure.
No, I love what you're saying about that, like 60,000 thoughts a day, really. And that goes back to the old adage of do people have thoughts or do thoughts have people? I think there's way more thoughts out there that just have people and they're just constantly trying to like log into people and be like, my thought. Did you hear my thought yet?
That's a terrifying way to view this universe. Please don't say that again.
Oh.
That's fucking terrifying.
I think therefore I am. That is a thing that's been said a time or two. So look, you might be onto something there.
I don't know. This is what everybody hates about the show and what the few followers we have love is I say, I don't fucking know at the end of almost every show because nobody knows.
Brat about it. Jeez.
What?
Did you say listeners? Brat? No. Our listeners come for the very, very off-the-wall ADD tangents of conversations that we have.
Perfect.
On everything ever. So
nice.
We are absolutely of the same mindset as y'all, for sure.
Hell yeah.
Awesome. Well, dude, anything else you want to plug before you get the fuck out of here, or should I just boot you from Zoom right now?
No, what the fuck?
Well, look, if anybody's interested in this wild dichotomy between me and Jacob, very differing thoughts, it's hardly ever any kind of echo chamber. We're both thinking from completely different views, and probably 9 out of 10 episodes, you're going to hear about us butting heads because we're both just so damn stubborn and we both think that we got it right. So if you're into that kind of thing, you don't want to be a part of an echo chamber. You want to be part of, you know, kind of just like what like your left brain says and your right brain says arguing with itself on literally a daily basis, then come check out The Cult of Conspiracy. We cover so many things, whether it's government cover-ups. I mean, literally every, it seems like there's a new conspiracy to talk about every single day. It's very hard for us to even to cover a lot of the ancient old school ones, which are really awesome. And I feel like not a lot of people know about it, but it's hard to get to it because we're living in a crazy ass matrix. If you want to be involved in that, then come check us out at The Cult of Conspiracy. We're available at any podcast platform anywhere. We also have patreon.com/cultofconspiracypodcast where you'll have access to all of our episodes in video, completely commercial free, and we go live every Tuesday night. You'll be able to join us and ask any kind of question to us. It's the best way to be able to support the show. And yeah, that's who we are, and hopefully, you know, if y'all dig it, then come check us out.
Fucking love it.
Oh, yeah.
So if you want to be a part of about 2 or 3 of the 60,000 thoughts you have a day, go check out Cult of Conspiracy, because they'll cover them all.
Whether you're on the left or right, whether you're married to We Went to the Moon or We're going into the 4D dimension or 5D. I don't even know what it is anymore. But
there's so many D's.
Whatever side you're on, check these guys out, because I think it'll be like the Bible. It'll meet you where you're at.
Yeah.
Love I like it. That.
I've been listening I'm stealing every day. That. I'm feeling your beard.
Boner.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right, you guys, have a good night. Thanks, everybody in the live chat that joined us for the live show, and everybody on audio. As always, we will see you next time.
Thank you for listening to Legit Bad. Please address all content grievances to gofuckyourself@yourmom.com. See you next week.